G'day, Reece Dowden here, and welcome to episode 26 of the Selection Bullet Points podcast. And make sure, if you're going to be doing selection, check out operatoredge.com/selection. And I've got a good little offer and giveaway I'm running at the moment, so make sure you check that out. That's in regards to my indefatigable selection prep course. But let's get into today's episode of the podcast, and this is a bit of a Q&A, so I've got 11 questions that I have received recently, either from those in my program or just random dudes that have emailed through. So I've got 11 of them, and I'm going to go through and answer those as best as I can, and they're obviously all related to selection and all quite different questions. So let's look at the first one. Number one, why did I leave SF? Interesting question. I seem to get this a lot. You know, everyone wants to know why people leave SF, why I left SF. And it's an interesting one because I had a really good run when I was in Commandos. I got in at the perfect, the perfect time, I would say, depending on what you think, I guess, perfect is. But in regards to, operational deployments and so forth, particularly when Afghan was going on, it was a really great time. So I got in there about 2008, and it was finished Rio, prep for overseas, went overseas, came back, prep for team, went on team, did my sniper course while I was on team, prepped to go on another trip, went on another trip, and then I did about a year and then got out then. So it was just a really, really good run. And I did about just over 10 years all up, the two different stints that I did. And I kind of just felt like I was ready to move on and do something else. I certainly, I wouldn't say I'd had enough of the Army. I certainly, didn't hate the Army or wasn't really keen to, I didn't need to get out as such. Whereas a lot of people find the military have just, get jaded and they're really sick of the military. But that wasn't me at all. I just felt like it was time to move on. So I did, and did a couple other things until I got to where I am now in regards to Operator Edge, and that's obviously what I do now. So that's my reason, and it's obviously all different from many other guys' reasons, but I had a good run, and I thought it was time to move on. Okay, number two, how long is Rio, and at what point is employment guaranteed in Commandos? Really, employment's never guaranteed in Commandos. There's a sort of a saying that we use there in special operations is that you're on a daily renewable contract, and it's a bit of people say it as a bit of a tongue in cheek, but it's really true. It's once you get there, once you finish Rio, you're really at the bare minimum level. There's a lot to learn. As you want to sort of have the attitude that you want to run to catch up. You're always running to catch up, and wanting to get better and evolving. And if you fuck up too many times, you're going to be under the pump. You're going to get trade tested, and they'll fuck you off. Didn't happen all the time. Didn't happen a lot, but you certainly don't want to be that dude. All right, so you've always got to be looking to maintain your skill sets and even improve them and really keep up with everybody else. Okay, because if you fuck up too many times, you're going to be under the pump and it's going to be stressful. But in regards to Rio. Rio for Commandos at the moment's about 12 months, for SAS about 18 months. And employment is guaranteed at the end of that. So at the end of Rio, if you pass all the courses, you get your beret and you're in the unit, okay? You're posted to the unit, right? So you don't get posted there until you finish Rio. If you reservist transferring over full-time, you won't transfer over until you finished Rio and get your beret, okay? So it's at the end of Rio, that's when you get your beret. That's when you become, basically you're in special operations, okay? Number three was this dude was under the impression that there were two commando selection courses each year, one in May and one in October. Okay, so no, that's incorrect. They used to have two. When I did it back in 2008, 2007, 2008, there were two, but now there's only one, okay? So there's two in regards to two special operations courses. So SAS have one, which is around April, May, and Commandos have one, which is around October each year. So yes, there are two, but in regards to Commando selection, there is just one, and SAS, there is just one as well, okay? So DRS, just touching on DRS, if you go in DRS, there's the last few years they've been doing two intakes, so one in May and one in October. If you go in May, say you go in May 2022 next year, you won't be doing selection in 2022 in October. You're going to be in there for 18 months before you do selection. If you go in for DRS in October, if you start Kabuka in October, you'll be doing it a year later. Right? So if you start October 2022, you'll be doing it a year later, 2023. Okay? Number four, if you get invited back to reattempt selection the following year, do you need to redo the SFET? Yeah, you would, because the SFET, I think, lasts maybe 6 months. So when there was two selection courses, yeah, you if it was for the same unit, I remember that happened to me. I didn't have to, once I kicked off the first commando one, I didn't have to redo SFET, but you will have to do it, okay? You will have to do it from now on if you fail selection and have to reattempt it the following year. Number five, can you explain the process of applying for commandos whilst in the Defence Force already and at what time you're allowed to apply after Kapuka, ITs, etc.? So they want you to wait around 18 months, 18 months to 2 years. So, and I had this question recently about, do you have to be Private P to do selection? Well, you will be Private P, all right? So if you're, you know, you get Private P after about a year. So by the time you do selection, yes, you're going to be Private P. So once you join Kapuka, once you go to Kapuka, join the army, it's going to be at least 18 months to 2 years, depending on your age, all right? If you're a little bit older, if you join up the army a little bit later and you're sort of 23, 24, 25, yeah, 18 months, 2 years, you'll probably be ready. You'll probably find that you're ready. If you join at 17, 18, 18 months, 2 years, no. You're gonna take a little bit longer than that. And I've mentioned that, you know, the majority of guys probably get through, their mean age is probably sort of 25, 26, 27, but you don't have to necessarily wait that long, okay? So you join at 17, 18. Yes, you're not going to do selection in 18 months, 2 years, but don't wait till you're 25 or 26. You'll probably, after, you know, two and a half, three years, you'll want to do selection. So once you're sort of hitting 22, it's probably a good time to have a crack. Number six, I understand SASR have opportunities to transfer to other SF units on exchange or even to transfer permanently. That's not true. You won't transfer permanently unless you go and do their selection course, okay? But, yeah, there's definitely opportunities for exchange. Have I heard of anyone doing the same for two commando, particularly in units in the UK, both on exchange and permanent transfer? I don't know anyone who's permanently transferred. I don't know anyone who's actually gone over and done their selection from commandos. I know a Kiwi SAS that did it. He was in New Zealand SAS, went and did selection for 22 SAS and served over there. And I'm sure there's Australian people who've done that as well. I just don't know of any. Don't think so in regards to commandos that have done that. But, yeah, there's certainly chances or opportunities for exchange. They can go and do, you know, 12-month, two-year posting overseas. So I know of commandos that have done that. Over to America in the ODA unit, which is the Green Berets, okay? So they'll go serve in one of those, one of their special forces groups over there. So definitely can be done. Like, the opportunities are there, and from what I've heard, they are really great. And you would be deployed with them too. If you transferred to a unit and they were being deployed, you would be deployed with them because you're a part of that unit for that time period, okay? Number seven, as a current serving member who has been out of a combat corps background for a few years, would it be advisable to attempt to jump on the Special Forces selection preparation course? Or is it more likely a distraction from the end goal? The pre-selection course, great idea, okay? Especially if you're not in an arms corps, it's great to go down and do that. It goes for about 8 weeks. You'll do your entry test during that pre-selection course, and you're basically going to be going over all your soldier skills. So things that are going to be tested on selection. So weapons, nav, first aid, infantry minor tactics, that kind of thing. So definitely a good core if you can get on it. If you're in full-time infantry, you're probably not necessary, but if you're in reserve infantry, yes, do it. A bunch of guys in my program have done it and said it was quite good. There'll probably be a few things that sort of suck eggs and are pretty easy, but it's a chance to practice it, okay? So they're going to go through it. It's run by School Special Operations, all right? So they know what is going to be on selection, so they're going to train you up with those or practice those skill sets because that's what's going to happen on selection, and they want to get you really prepped for that. They basically developed the course for the direct entry guys, but anyone can get on it. So anyone from any branch of the military, Navy, Air Force, whatever, Army, you can get on it. So if you are not from a full-time infantry background, probably worth jumping on it. Number 8, tips advice for weight gain without using a protein powder. Eat a fuckload. That's it. That's simple. Simple answer. But a protein powder is good, you know, because, you know, when you're trying to put on weight, you can be full all the time, all right? So, and it gets expensive if you're eating good food. So, a really good protein powder is going to be a little bit easier to get down and probably a little bit cheaper in the long run. And when I was, you know, actively trying to put on weight, I'm sitting at about 88, 89 kilos now, but my heaviest I was about 110 kilos. That's right when I was right into sort of bulking up, I suppose. I would have, you know, 7-8 sort of meals a day, including protein powder. So, you know, 3-4 of those would be in a protein shake, and I would have one basically beside my bed, have it before I go to bed. And then when I was really into it, I'd actually have two. One before I go to bed, keep another one there, and then wake up in the middle of the night and have one, okay, which can sort of fuck your sleep. It's not that great for, you know, eating throughout the night or drinking protein powder, but in regards to putting on weight, absolutely works, okay? But if you don't want to use a protein powder, you will just have to eat a lot. Do it scientifically too, you know, understand, have a look on things like MyFitnessPal, download the app, put in your stats of where you are now, where your body weight is, what you want to be, how active you are, all that kind of stuff. And that's going to, you know, how much you want to put on each week. But realistically, you're probably only going to put on half a kilo, maybe a week. And follow it, okay? And then track all your calories to make sure you're hitting your targets. A lot of people say to me, oh, I struggle to put on weight. And I say, well, what are you using to track it? And they go, oh, I'm just sort of eating. I say, well, that's not very fucking scientific, is it? Same as losing weight. Track how much you're eating and your calorie targets that you need to hit, whether you want to put on weight or lose weight, and follow it. So, at least you know exactly what's going on and you can adjust it from there. All right, rather than just, you know, shooting blind. Number 9, what happens if you apply through SFDRS and don't pass selection? It all depends. If you don't pass selection, the guys have been getting an opportunity to either, or getting a choice really, to either go to an infantry unit for 12 months and doing selection again, or staying in Sydney, staying at Holsworth at the School of Special Operations. So it's sort of up to you. I would advise probably to stay there in Sydney because, you know, the regular army, I don't know how much you're going to get out of that. And if you can probably stay away from there, I probably would. So, yeah, it just depends. If you get injured early on and, you know, at Kapooka or at IETs, yeah, they'll probably send you an infantry unit from there. But if you're already at the School of Special Operations, they'll more than likely keep you there or at least give you the choice, okay? Number 10, on the solo nav phase, how much weight should you expect to carry? 40 kilos, realistically, once you've got your radio and your, you know, 3 days rations and your weapon, everything like that. So it's probably 35 to 40 kilos, and I would say 40 kilos, and if you can get used to carrying that, you'll be good to go. And the final one, have you or has anyone you know of used Condi's crystals to harden your feet? If so, what ratios, how regularly? There's very little info online. Interesting question. I seem to get this one a lot too. I never used it, okay? I don't actually know anyone who used it consistently for selection. There's definitely guys that do it, and there's probably guys that swear by it. I remember seeing on selection when I was on it, when I helped down on selection, there was always one or two guys that had the purple feet, okay? Because that's what Condi's crystals does. It sort of stains your skin. There's no harm there, obviously. But honestly, not many. I don't know many guys that did it. I don't know anyone that personally did it. And I've asked a lot of my other operator mates, and none of them did it. But guys do it. Guys swear by it. So, you know, if you're worried about your feet that much and you want to try it, you can try it. But I can't give you any info in regards to how regularly they did it, all right? I don't necessarily think it's needed, but again, that's just me. That's what I did. And, yeah, I can't give you any information on that because I didn't do it. But like anything, test it early, all right? Test it and find out long way out from selection if it's going to be good for you, do you really need it, and how you're going to react to it, okay? So anything in regards to training for selection, use it early, test it early, and see the results there. So then you're going to be really confident going to selection if it works and you're not trying anything new too close to selection, okay? All right, well, that's it for today's Q&A. 11 questions I answered there. Hope you got a lot out of the session. Again, make sure you check out operatoredge.com/selection, and I've got a good little giveaway going on in regards to my Indefatigable course. There, if you've got any questions, make sure you hit me up, reese@operatoredge.com via email, or send me a Facebook message, or send me an Instagram message, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. My Instagram handle is reese_dowden, by the way. Email's probably the best, but that's it. Hope you got a lot out of this episode of the podcast, and I'll speak to you in the next one. Thanks.